I'm going to assume that this is working. It's not doing it again. But 13, first one. Paul is, he's, last week we found out about the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that Paul went over, and he explained to them, the Corinthians, how all the gifts they were using were, even though they were a multitude of gifts, when I say a multitude, we know there were nine that he outlined, that even though they had diversities of gifts, they were all used for one purpose. And that was for the edification of the body. And the body, the whole purpose of the body was, and we didn't cover this, but the whole purpose of the body is to do what?
Glorify the Lord.
To glorify the Lord. To not only to glorify the Lord, but it was his purpose. That's why when we read those first three verses where he talked about diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of administrations, but the same Lord, diversities of operations, but the same God who worketh all in all, and the manifestation is of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In verse 11, he says that God distributed to these, to the gifts, he says, but all these gifts worketh that one and the self-same Spirit. Notice, he says, Lord, the Spirit, the Lord, and God. And he says, but the one Spirit does what? Divides to every man severally as he will. You know, they're all working together. Right? They're all working together. As he will, not as they will. No, that's what we will now. Most assemblies, you see their will with the gifts. With the gifts. I say that with the tongue in cheek because they're not really gifts. It's more like, yeah, it's more like monkey shine than gifts, right? Like shenanigans. What's that?
Charade,
yes. Because it's not real. It's not authentic. It's not, because they're not given by the Spirit. And he says, verse 27, he says, that they were, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. Who did that?
God
did. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and he asks questions. Are all apostles?
No.
They would have to say no. Are all prophets? They would have to say no. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Seven no's. You have to say no, 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 and no. And he's got trying to get them to see that you're different for a reason. You know what we talked about? Remember we talked about the body when we drew that body in Detroit and we told them to put their name in the body and everybody went and wrote it in the head. But we're naturally selfish. You know that. You do know that, don't you? And I'm going to say this and I'm just being open and I don't want to hurt your feelings. But as nice as Annette is, you know what's first?
Annette.
That's right. That's one of the gifts. Right. You got that one whether you like it or not. Selfishness. And that's, you know what, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but that's true. The only thing that gets you out of you is the scripture. So when Paul writes, he knows the Corinthians are being Corinthians. And the only thing that will get them out of Corinthians is to show them, well, we'll find out, he's going to show them a more excellent way. But to for them to realize that this is bigger than them. Remember we did the R with the big R and the words with the R's? Is he had to remind them that he had to inform them that what's going on in Corinth was bigger than them, and they were a small part of a very big plan. God's plan. Do you know that? We are a very small part of a very big plan. Bigger than, what's the street?
Bigger than ourselves, that's for sure.
It is. What is the street?
Virginia Run.
Bigger than Virginia Run Cove. Bigger than Memphis. Bigger than Tennessee. Bigger than the United States. This is a universal program. I asked you this, guys, this before, and you probably don't remember this. And there's a song where the guy says, "It's okay to be little bitty or itty bitty." Are you familiar with that? Are you? Yes. And I don't know. I just remember he said, "Alan, okay." You know what? Do that one day on your own time. Google that song and listen to it, and think about this. You know, he said, "It's all right to be itty bitty when you have it in perspective." And Paul writes to the Corinthians. He when he asks those questions, he says that they don't all do the same thing, and that's for a reason. He says, but 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way, better than all those. Wow. What's better than, they thought, what's better than speaking in tongues? Can't beat that. Everybody wants to do that now, don't they? But you can tell them to say, you know what? I got something better than that. When I went to that assembly and those people were there making those people speak in tongues, I about to got up and said, "Hey, I got something better than this, better than what you're doing. I got something better." They go, "Oh, anybody want it? Come on up, come on up." And I tell them, "I'm going to show you how to love each other." What? Like, wah, wah. That would be a big letdown to them. Because it does nothing for the flesh. Those gifts were outward displays. Not of how much they cared about each other. Not even how much they cared about God's purpose and plan. It was things that they were doing.
Like ego.
An ego. They were all on ego trips. I won't say all of them because some were approved. But for the most part, it was look at me. And I asked you last week, I said, why did they pick tongues to embrace? Why did they grab that one, which was the most visible? That's what Blake said, that it was one that was most obvious. And they can do it. Say it again.
They all talk too much.
They all talk too much. Hold your hand there. I just want to show you something. Just put this together. And look at Acts. What's that? Where is Corinth?
Macedonia.
Right, Macedonia. See that right there? Can you see that? Oh, you can't see that. That says Athens. Athens is right next to what? Corinth. This is Athens. This is Corinth. This is Macedonia. They're all in the same area. Right here. They're all in the same area. Shake your head, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Acts. My friend with the fingers that it won't bend.
Yeah.
I know. Acts 17. And they took, this is where Paul goes to Athens, and he goes to their speaking hall, Areopagus. He says, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we would know therefore what these things mean. Why were they so interested to hear what Paul had to say? Not because he had the answers. Because they were seeking more wisdom. Because for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. When we started off in Corinthians, it was the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of men. In Macedonia, in Greece, Athens, Corinth, they were known for their philosophers, for their oration or their oratory gifts. What better if you had a guy who could speak in another language at will? This is, isn't that Blake? And Blake's just, and they're like, what's he saying? I don't know, but it sounds good. They didn't do what we see today, like, like two or three seconds, not even minutes. They were speaking
in another
language, and it wasn't gibberish, exactly. So that was a big draw for them. That's why they all wanted to do it.
Especially if you can go in a room and there's groups of people that couldn't talk to each other, and then one guy talks and all of them understand. I mean, that's a lot of power.
We weren't there, but we have an example here where they met all the time. Say, what you got? Boom. What do you have? What do you have? That's right. You know what? We call them conferences, I guess, today. But that's my perspective of that. Now, you could find something else, but you know that they are centered in. You know, a lot of our preaching today comes from the Greeks. The things that we do, yeah, the you know, these, they get up, the whole theatrical performances that we do, you know, jumping around and stadiums.
Come down the altar and pray, and you know, they use these words, and they don't have
to.
That's the sanctuary. Don't take coffee
in
the sanctuary.
Sure, it's a whole mixture. It's a mixture of Jewish and pagan activity, where if people really thought about what they were doing, they think about what we see today as preaching. Paul didn't preach that way. jumping up and down in the pulpit, running back and forth. And Paul didn't do that.
Well, how about when preachers on TV that?
That's what I'm saying. It's we've added some things to it. You know, and he didn't hoop. Sure.
Soak up something in you that's not real.
Because they say, not look at him, they say, look at me. Look at me. He says, verse 13 and 13:1, he says, but I covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way, better than what you guys have been occupied with. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He's setting the groundwork to emphasize charity. You know, when I was looking at this, and I noticed this before, but even more so when I was reading, out of all the writers, Paul uses the word charity more than all of them together. And out of all the times he uses the word charity, he uses it to the Corinthians more than any other group of people. Why? Because they're so selfish. We talked about a wealthy city, and they would not support Paul. You remember we were in chapter 9? He says, I had to rob other churches to preach to you. When he said rob them, I took offerings from them so I could stay here and preach to you with the money you have. See what? Corinth right here. What's here?
They were
seaport town. People came from everywhere. Import, export. People from all over came to Corinth. That's right. Like Louisiana. Came everywhere. You know, your history, that's one of the reasons why Louisiana was so prosperous, because they had exports and imports coming in from all over. That's why they wanted it so bad. That's right. But the opportunity, it was strategic for God to be able to reach a lot of people. That's why they had the tongues. They're not on God's page with that. Anybody came in, they would have a message from anywhere. And Paul says, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's, we know Paul, at least Paul spoke two languages. At least two, right? Then he says, and angels. I got nothing.
But the one I've got in my notes from studying is that angels speak in the language of the hearer. If you go back through
we know when they appear to the men, angels appear to the men. Well, I'm saying
Abraham, we got him with Lot.
What, you know, whatever language they understood it. whatever it was, and that's what Paul is getting at. Whatever it was, he says, though I speak with men, the tongues of men, and the tongues of angels, he says, and have not charity. He says, I'm a
noise.
It's a noise. He said, it means nothing. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and he did, and understand all mysteries, and he did, and all knowledge, and he did, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, we know Paul's speaking hypothetically, because we know he did have charity, and a lot of it.
He was saying that you have all the gifts.
He says, if I had all that, it's beneficial to only me. What good is it? What good is a gift if you can't give it? Right? If you can't use. And that's whatever it is. If you had a cure for cancer, what good is it to walk around and say, I got the cure. And somebody says, great, I got cancer, give it to me. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that right now. Or, I don't know if you're ready for that right now. Because that's what the equivalent of it is, I've got it, you need it, but I don't know, I don't care enough to give it to you. That's the gospel is the gift. I heard T.D. Jakes say this one time, and he said that he was just a man who... A man who found bread, whose responsibility was to tell other people where he found the bread. And I thought, that's about it. He said it better than I did, but he said, I'm just a man who found bread, a beggar who found bread, who's telling other beggars where I found the bread. Is that right? That's true. We're no different. We're no better. We're selfish. Just like the Corinthians. You know, everybody will say, well, if I was in Corinth, I would have done differently. Maybe not. Not so fast. You're in Memphis and you're like a Corinthian. So, right. That's, and he says, though I have these things and could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Notice he said, if I give my body to be burned and feed the poor, sure, that's profitable for them. But for him, if he did it out of the wrong motive, it profits nothing. You know, I think about the grace of God. You know how great the grace of God is? Is he gave them these gifts to function and help each other, to help the body and help God, and yet he wanted them to know that they could be a willing, active participant in helping him. All right, let me say it a different way. He gave them all those gifts, showed him what he wanted done, and still he's given them the opportunity, who were once Gentiles without God. He says, I'm giving you this opportunity to work with me.
Mm-hmm. I'm giving you the opportunity and the tools.
Right, who were worthless before, And now he says, you have great value to me to work with me. In other words, he said, you could be profitable to others and to me, and to give you a chance to realize how profitable you are.
He was extending to them a privilege, and they were treating it like they were consuming it on their flesh.
It was a great privilege. And I'm trying to think of a word. It was to them, it was entitlement. The focus was solely on them, not about who God had made them. He says, if I do these things, who knew better? When Paul got saved, the first thing he said was,
Lord, what
would thou have me to do? That sound like a man who's sold out?
Like a man who saw his life flash before his eyes.
Okay. So when he's laboring, guess what he knows? What Paul knows. As he's going along, as he's ministering to others, the grace of God, guess what he knows?
The truth, and that he's serving the Lord.
You got anything stronger than that? The truth that he's serving the Lord?
No, the truth.
So he's in God's plan.
He was given
a dispensation.
In other words, charity is seeing the truth more effectually than others. You have to share that truth.
That's. He knew all that he knew. So when he goes, when he talks like in Timothy, he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Where he says, what I got, you can get this. You can.
And I'm the least.
He didn't deserve it. He knows he didn't deserve it, the position that he had. Mm-hmm. Let me show you something before we finish up in Corinthians. Look at Timothy, 1 Timothy. Strange verse, 1 Timothy. Well, not so strange. Maybe just strange terminology. But it makes good sense. Let's see. Chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we know 1 Timothy is Paul writing to Timothy, which is his son in the faith, right? Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus, and he wrote to him how to conduct things at Ephesus. Chapter 6, verse 11. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Why is he... He's encouraging Timothy to flee these things and follow after these things. What? To what? To live for God. Why?
So he can share with
others. So he can share with others what? The gospel. The what?
The
doctrine. The same thing that freed Paul, he gave to Timothy. Guess what it did for Timothy? It freed him. That's why he said to Timothy, the things that I committed to you, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
The domino effect.
Well, what's God trying to do? What's he trying to save? Everybody? What kind of God is that? Isn't that what that's what he said, isn't it? It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why would God want to do that? Because of purpose. He loves us. And it's not just, oh, I really love him. It's not that kind of love. It's the thing. It's the love. I've got something in
that he wants us to share in and to be a part of, but he's not going to force it on.
It's not going. You can't. That's right. That's the thing is, what's missing is charity. When he said, okay, he says, I don't want to get too sidetracked here. He says, but loving, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. Here's what I want. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Wait a minute. Timothy saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, lay hold on eternal life. How many times can you get it? Eternal life.
One
time. Is it eternal if you get it?
Yeah.
What is he saying? Lay hold on it for then. Act like you've got it.
Live like you, like you're acknowledging it.
Live like you're acknowledging it. That's even stronger. I like that. Act like you got it. Live like you really got a hold of it. You know what? I hate to use a TV show to word this down, but Robin Williams was in a movie, I want to say Dead Poets Society, where he was the teacher, and he was teaching all these young adults, these men, and he gave them a phrase, carpe diem, seize the day. What do you mean by that?
Make the most
of the day that you have. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. He says, Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. Listen, you know how the great privilege we have right here? You won't be able to do what you can do here, there. Paul says in Ephesians, he'll use it a different way, redeem the time. We do everything but lay hold on eternal life here. We lay hold on, what's your job? She just laid hold on whatever job that was. We lay hold on that. But he says, what you have opportunity, Timothy, right now, forget that stuff and focus on this.
Today is a day of celebration.
Today. That's right. He just said it. Let no man say what he shall do on the morrow. For we know not what a day may bring. But you say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. You know what I do? It's not about me. I'm just going to give you my big hang up is this. I've always had a problem with self-will. I don't want to do things out of self-will. So I find myself doing nothing. Because you know what? You think, okay, if I do this, it's like, am I pushing this? That's, you know, somebody might say, you should do this. I'm like, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? You want, I give you an example. Anyway, that's not important. But anyway, that's one of the things that that, but Paul said this. He says, you pray for me that I might have open doors. But he also prayed for boldness that he should speak as he ought to speak. Well, you always got an open door to speak, don't you? Unless you back down and say, well, how many doors you think will open if you just spoke? Say, hey, open the door. Oh, come on in. But we don't, if we don't speak. And that's why I always, people will say, hey, you should do this. Like, yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm kind of like that.
Yes. It's just fine. I'll give you something that'll help you out. That'll help us out. What's that?
There's a glorified God.
That's true. I'll give you something even more that'll help us out. Because usually we wouldn't do anything that would be dishonoring to God. But this help me out, and this may help you out, is he looks at you today as a son, as a full-grown son, daughter, in Christ. And you say, should I do this? And he says, do what you want. I don't call my mother up and say, hey, Mom, can I go to the movies? And she probably on the other end say, what? She's like, now my grandmother different. I tell my grandmother, she'll say, hey, do this or that. And I was like, hey, I'm almost 50 years old. No, she'll say, I don't care. I don't care how old you are. But God's not like that. He says, I've given you my will, I've given you my plan, I've given you the Spirit, I've given you freedom, I've given you liberty. Now,
an opportunity.
You decide out of the information you have whether this is glorifying or not. And then he enables you to make your own decision. That's freedom. That's what helped me is when you start thinking of, should I do this? And you said, why shouldn't I? Is it glorifying the Lord? Sure. Borrow Jesus. No man goes to a battle where he sit down, he says, count the cost.
If you can
figure that out, and if everything's on the plus,
yep,
then go for it. And if it's wrong, guess what? You say, well, that didn't last long. And you look for another opportunity. That's all you can do. But if you sit down and wait for God to nudge you, guess what? You'd be waiting a long time. Because people say, I'm waiting on the Lord to move me. Okay. You'll be like Rumpelstiltskin. You sat down and took a nap. How long did he sleep?
20 years.
I don't know how many years. He woke up and he was a long time. Too long, right. Okay. Yeah, Rip Van Winkle. I'm sorry. Rumpelstiltskin. Okay. He says, And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wow. That's quite a list, isn't it? Do you see why he says that this is a more excellent way? Can you see anything wrong in those, the list that he gave?
Against which there is no law.
He says, in love, there's no law against love. There's no law against love. He says, charity. And I like the definition is, where we think, that's what we think about love. And like I said, we think of cushy love, right?
Like Richard Gordon
says,
you think about good.
So, it's not, and like I said, to use the words that the scriptures kind of use the words, so you've got the family love, which is phileo, or brotherly love, which I don't know how to spell that. T. Anyway. Yes. Yeah, that's. So, you know what that is. So, and then you have agape, which is, and that's the word he's using for charity. This, I have blood family. I don't care to. You do too, don't you? And yet you'll say, I love them. I love them, but this is what? This is tough love. Tough love means you don't get. I don't give and you don't get. That's where this falls to this category. It's conditional. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
That's conditional. This, arrows, that's conditional.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey. Sometimes, yes, sometimes no. Sometimes you feel like it, sometimes you don't. That's conditional. Right? That's strike two, right? But charity, that's God's love. He says, though the more I love you, the less you love me. Or God says, I love you while you were ungodly, unholy,
enemy.
That's unconditional. And he says to the Corinthians and to us, he says, Blake, I want you to operate off that. Charity. That's better than that. It's better than that. Can you do that?
A long list.
And you say, sure, Lord, just tell me what to do. Okay, Blake, he said, this is what I want you to do. He says, verse 4, he says, charity suffereth long. That's long suffering. You know what Paul says? He says in Ephesians, he says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. That's long suffering. Well, how long? How long should I suffer?
He says, how long? What you mean, how long? Just, you know, we worked with a guy. It was a guy that, wow. We had a guy that was back in Detroit where he was one of our biggest accounts, a Ford plant. And the manager, one of the supervisors called in, and we have what's called a hot shot, where the guy, the line is down. He says, I need this right now. Mm-hmm. And so he calls this new guy up, and he says, yeah, this is so-and-so. He says, yeah, this is Brad from Ford Van Dyke plant. He says, I got this bearing that I need, and I need it right now. And he's like, wait a minute. We heard the guy. He was like, wait a minute now. He said, you can't put me on a time limit here. I think everybody said, hang up. Put him on hold. Put him on hold. It's because he doesn't understand what's going on here. When you say to God, well, how much? How long should I suffer, Lord? And God's like, wait a minute. You don't understand. He just, right. That's why when he says, how long should I forgive him? He said, 7 times? And the Lord says, no. 70 times 7. There's no limit to this. So this is the deal. Long suffering. That's, you know what?
As long as it takes.
This is, that's why it's called what? Long suffering. We checked out. We first one, we checked out. He says, and is kind. Charity envieth not. And that's why they killed the Lord, for envy. Not so much that they wanted what he had. It was that they didn't want him to have what was his. What was rightfully his. You ever seen somebody? I know you all are not like this, but you ever seen somebody who maybe they're enjoying some things and you like, they make me sick. I know. It was hypothetical. It was just hypothetical. I know. He says, charity vaunteth not itself.
This,
no comment. Charity vaunteth not itself. That is, he doesn't hold up the sign. I've arrived. Or I'm on the way. Look at me. Right. Charity vaunteth not. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. There's a lot of truth in that. Well, it is truth. That's Proverbs. He says, charity is not puffed up. It's pride. Pride cometh and a haughty spirit. It said pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Haughty, high-minded. That's what, you know, Paul talks to the Timothy when he's talking about putting the officers and the preachers, the pastors and the physicians. He said he can't be new to the game. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Which is
gotta be grounded.
Which is pride. You know what? That's the biggest word you'll see.
Middle of the word pride, middle of sin.
One little letter, I, is the biggest word you'll, the biggest problem too you'll ever have. We don't have to go that far. We don't have to go to Lucifer. Look at me. We all have that problem. We have, you know, I wrote something back here. It was, I know the quote, but it said something about, I don't know. It was, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget, but I know it said, pride is like a boiling pot. What do you do with a boiling pot?
Cook some.
You cook something. Pride is like a boiling pot. It must be monitored at all times. You have to watch it all the time. Wherever, whether it's work, whether it's an assembly, whether it's at home, you have to always keep the old man in eye shot, because all he needs is that opportunity. You do know that, don't you? Okay. We should. He says, it's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. That's or inordinate. That's Paul. One of the things Paul said about the leaders in the assembly was this. He says that you treat the older men as fathers, the younger the mothers, the younger sisters, the younger women as sisters. Three little words after that. He said, with all purity. He said, don't be unseemly. Inordinate. Inordinate affection. Say it again. Yes, exactly. And that's,
and I say you don't see that in church today.
Some of these
are dressed like
hookers. You know what? It's, and those are things, like you said, we depart from Scripture. But it's not just it's the things we say, you know, joke, the foolish jesting, where some things are unseemly. They're not appropriate. And it's not just physical things, but speech. Paul, when he writes to the Romans in chapter 1, he says that one of the things of the problem was that it was, he said, men with men working that which is unseemly. It's inordinate. It's out of order. It's improper. It's a wide range of things that you can do that are inordinate. He says, verse 5, he says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. He says, seeketh not her own. Well, I like that. All that, and he says, her own. When he says her, he's kind of personifying charity. Kind of like wisdom. He's personifying charity. You know what? When I say her, you think of, what would you think of? When I say her?
A woman.
Okay, what would you think of when you say a woman? Her? A woman? What do you, I know what I think of. What do you think of?
Love,
caring, nurturing, what? Honor, softer side. Oh, you're getting hot, huh? I do. That's all those things. You think of the feminine characteristics, things that women are known for. That's what charity does. Charity is a nurturer, a warmth, a comforter, a softer side. Because you know what? The maternal instinct is, whatever it is, I'm going to look out for you. Man, he'll like, get out there and do this. That's the man is more hard, cold. That's why he said charity is like this. Matter of fact, one of the things that Paul said about in Ephesians about cherishing is to the husband is to nurture and cherish her. You know what? That's where he gets the word That's a chicken. That's pretty good chicken. Chicken on a nest. You know what's in there? Like a chicken is roosting. You know, what's a chicken doing when they're roosting?
Keeping them warm.
She's cherishing those eggs. Where we get the word. You ever try to pull a chicken off a roost? You ever try that? How hard is it? Because what's here, what's in here, is precious. God's saying, you know what? That's what I want you. Corinthians, he says, that's where I want you to think that way. He says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, he didn't mean you just believe everything. That comes to what he's talking about each other. He says, beareth all things. You know what? She said something to me. I can't accept that. She could have said anything else but that. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, beareth what?
Let it go.
Let it go? Wow.
I was getting ready one morning, and I was sitting there and I why do you keep putting the towel on top of my towel like this movie or something like that? And he didn't hear me. And he's sitting there on the bed and he's like, whatever you sit there, I still love you.
I don't know where. That's how you use that right away, right? Right. You know what? That's what you have to do, though. You have to bring those thoughts into captivity to Christ. And your mind says this. Your flesh says, I can't do that. Sure, you can't. That's why he's... What? That's why he's indwelling you. He says, I'm here. You know what?
You get out of the way so I can do my job.
The first thing when he says, the fruit of the Spirit is... What? What? That's the last one. Oh, wait. It was the first one, wasn't it? That's the first one he said. Wonder why.
That's working, everything else should be closed.
He said, if you got this, you know what? You're going to do the rest of these. You're going to feel the rest of these. And that's where... That's what? Fall into place. Fall into place.
That's why he said the law is this, that you love the Lord and with all your heart, soul, mind, and your neighbor itself. You do those things, it'll take care of the rest of it.
It's fulfilled in what? One word. Thou shalt thy neighbor. He says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, believeth all things. We don't have time to go into the rest of those, but you think when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, to get back to the Corinthians, is they fought him every step of the way in 1 Corinthians. Everything he did, they countered. They says, I'm your apostle. No, you're not. I'm going to get you. No, you won't. I'm coming back. No, he's not. Am I right?
Yeah.
And he's telling me, I love you. No, you don't. So, and when he gets to the end, last verse. Well, yeah, First Corinthians 16. What's that? The right. Verse. Where are we? I said,
last verse.
I said chapter 16.
Yeah, she's been fighting
them the whole time. Yeah, 16 verse. Start at verse 10. We'll end up there. He says, "Now as Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye," we're one here, "watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." When he finishes all that, he goes to the end of the, and he says to the Corinthians, he says, hey, grow up. Be mature. The things that you do, do it out of charity. And he finishes up. Was that a man operating out of charity? That's a question. Was that a man operating out of charity?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hello.
He could do that, couldn't he?
He was an example of it.
You can't give
what you don't have.
He says, the proof that I love you is that I'm trying to show you how to love each other. He could have came, he said, I could do a lot of things that I'm entitled to do. But for love's sake, he said, I'm going to beseech you. That's what he told Philemon. He says, Philemon, I'm going to send this guy back to you. I know he ran away. I know he stole from you. He said, but I'm going to send him back, and I'm hoping you take him back, Onesimus. He says, but I know you will. He says, and I could enjoin you. That means I can say, do this, as Paul, the aged one. He says, I trump you at age, and I can make you do this. He says, but rather, for love's sake, I will beseech you. He says, Philemon, would you please take him back? And he says, what? He says, I know you will, because you think like I think. So I'm not worried about that. He said, he'll be a benefit to you just like he was to me. And he says, besides that, he says, I won't tell you how you owe me. You know what? I don't know what you when. I just love that. I mean, yeah. When I read this, I know my wife thinks I'm crazy. I get up sometimes and I just say, "Sure, where are you going?" I'm like, "I don't know." I'm just walking around. Right? She's like, "Hey, yeah." You know what? But anyway, let's pray. Father, we stop this.